good morning or good evening, wherever you are. You are listening to Ume Share Podcast, the podcast where men share openly. And in this podcast, we are continuing to look at the different scenarios that will lead to couples or married people having affairs. Karibu sana, asante sana for tuning in, and let's continue with our listening. I think the way you're explaining that, Tarith, is there are many scenarios that could happen.
Yep.
In the office, in church, with your neighbor, in a gated community, and also with very close friends, even in a Bible study.
Oh, yeah.
That could happen.
Wow.
I'm just thinking about the aspect of where it will move to anonymity.
Yeah.
So at some point, you may not be able to hide the fact that you're receiving this special treatment from this lady or the man. And at some point, the cracks will start forming.
Oh, yeah.
So you're trying to hide it. But I think it comes out in different ways, in the way probably she would treat her husband and say, "You never do this for me.
Yeah.
You never do this for me." So she starts seeing the gaps and the cracks in the marriage, which then could start forming resentment for the husband.
Yeah.
So the husband is wondering, but we've only survived for the last 30 years so together, and I don't really open the door for you, and I don't pull the seat for you in a restaurant. But she all of a sudden notices those things are not being done.
Yeah, she's getting special treatment.
Special treatment.
And she's enjoying it.
And she's enjoying it.
Yeah. Now, Jimmy could just be a kind man.
Yeah.
But he ought to notice when the chemistry changes.
Mm.
He could be seeing her in his office in the middle of the day with other people in the office, in the office building. So he's not thinking that there's privacy here, there's no anonymity.
Mm.
But once the chemistry develops, anonymity gets created very easily.
Mm.
Back in the hair dressing situation,
This
person who massages your head, and they're talking to you, we can give you a full body massage. And you say, no, I don't want that. Oh, on Saturdays, I don't work here. I can come and massage your head and you're home.
Mm.
Now anonymity begins to creep in.
Mm.
And once if the chemistry is there, you will plan for this person to come and massage you when there's no other family member.
Mm.
So we have to be on guard.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, I think I'm seeing two types. You've described two types. Mm. This one where there's a commercial transaction, the money, which I'm still struggling with, but that seems to be a bit of a power play.
Yes.
I'm paying for a service and then I pay over and above. But the person, initially the relationship is more a service customer relationship. The other example is more peers. And I actually see that more as more dangerous. It's a more aware of managing that situation, sorts of situations, more than where I'm paying somebody for a service, and that could escalate. Mm-hmm. I can see how it could escalate, but I think one point you brought up, Kevin, is that how are things at home? If these things are happening and things are stable at home and happy at home, and there are things you can talk about at home, that's actually a protection.
Mm-hmm.
If these things are happening and there's a level of dissatisfaction at home, a level of where perhaps you don't even feel you can share that there's this person who actually gave me some really good advice, and I'm seeing it's working, and that's useful. Maybe even you should get to meet this person. They could speak into your life as well.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no openness to have that conversation and say, this is how things are changing and this is what's happening at work or with this other friendship, that's where you're cooking. This thing is starting to cook.
Yeah.
And I think chemistry is something which can be misread. Sometimes one party can misread. But I find the older I get, the easier it is to spot. I think the younger I was, now I was quite oblivious. But I find at this age, it's very easy to see it happen. It happens more often, I think, than I used to be aware of.
Mm.
And you need to just be very vigilant of sidestepping those things as they come, because in my view, at you know, middle age, I'm 51. The opportunities or the chemistry, it happens in all sorts of different contexts.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily because you're so attractive, but sometimes it's because of money. It could be a
someone
looks at you as an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it happens way more often than I think I'm comfortable with. As I was actually sharing with a friend at the weekend, and saying it's genuinely very. It almost feels like an assault on the senses when you're out socializing, because there's just so much, I would call it sexual tension, in the air, almost at a snap of a finger.
No, you mentioned something, Mr. Kien. I'm just thinking the money issue, just giving an example of when you're on social media. I know there are times I've gotten a direct message from a lady, just, you know, someone who, if you have thousands of friends on, those are fans, really. Some of them are not friends, but, you know, just someone befriends you and you're thinking, oh, this is okay, maybe media related, I'm in the same industry, you become friends. And then once you see a DM message, you know, someone just asking, I admire, you know, the way you handle your children, or I saw a picture of you on a bicycle or in a forum somewhere. What is it exactly that you do? So you open that conversation and then you feel obliged to ask, oh, by the way, what is it that you also do? By the way, you've asked me that question. So you start escalating that conversation until one day she starts mentioning issues probably that she has. So you spend a lot of time, probably maybe it's one DM message per week, then it goes into two DM messages. And DM messages are, I think that's anonymity by itself, because it's not on your wall, it's not on your Facebook or Instagram wall. So this person, I mean, yeah, your own private space. And one day I got this lady, the same lady who was asking me, I'm having issues paying rent. I'm not being paid. And perhaps uneza niokolea kidogo. And it starts in a very innocent way.
This is 2K.
Exactly. It's not, she's not asking you for that. Maybe she's paying 25,000 rent. She's asking you for, in fact, that one was asking for 500, 1,000. Chakula ya mtoto leo, nanini, nanini. And it started as a very professional conversation. In fact, this is someone who works within the same industry I work in. And you're thinking, okay, so what if then, I stopped that conversation, but what if then I went and gave in? And I said innocently, okay, so, shika.
And as a believer, believe you're thinking, give to those who ask and do not refuse to those who want to borrow.
And if you're the kind of person who, you know, pushes scripture on your wall, you'll be like, I think let me get this person through scripture. Saying, you know, Nigeria ni mtu wa kanisa, I know you guys also give towards people like us. And so if I give in to that ask and it continues that way, it will become a habit until one day she will test me. Because she already sees I've put Kevin in a vulnerable position where he can give me, he understands my issues. Why can't I invite him to my house? The next thing.
To see the house that he's
And it escalates now to the touch and everything. So that's just an example of how I feel the money thing coming.
I see. That's actually very, very much clearer.
That is very true. And what Musyoki was saying regarding seeing this attraction, you know, tension around. You realize, especially now, as you in the way that Dr. was saying, somebody is 32, you are in your 40s, you know, late 50, early 50s, and somebody's looking at you, you're thinking, okay, they're thinking I'm a dinosaur, you know, when they're being born. But then, interestingly, as has been said, somebody thinks you're very handsome. Somebody thinks you're... Let me give you another story. I love giving stories. One time, you know, with my wife, we're in a function. And we are seated right next to each other. You know, function is going on.
Yeah.
And this lady is seated somewhere with two ladies somewhere in front of us. And my wife tells me, that lady is eyeing you. I look at my wife, I look at the lady. I'm wondering, what do you mean? I can't notice at all. I tell my wife, probably, I don't know. I think the kachumbari had an issue or something, you know. But she keeps repeating it. So, okay, I say, it's okay, let's move on. So, but then, I don't know what happened. I was walking and I stumbled. I kind of twisted my ankle. So my wife told me, go sit down somewhere, you know, just you massage your, you know, whatever, your feet. Before it. This particular lady came with some, I think it was some warm water to help. She came and said, hey, we can treat that. So that's when it hit me. Wait a minute. This is what my wife spotted.
You had been told to massage for yourself.
Yes. To massage for myself.
Yeah.
So that what Musyoki is saying is actually true. That if, and that's an isolated case, there was no transaction, but there was chemistry.
Yep.
For some, on her end, I did notice it,
yeah.
But on her end, for whatever reason, and remember, we are seated right, Mr. and Mrs., we are seated to each other. We are, you know, the way in a function, you when you're seated with your wife, you are, you know, you're talking,
you
talking,
safe,
talking.
Yeah.
You feel safe, she's safe, you're safe, everything is fine. But somebody's eyeing Kevin, somebody's eyeing you, Musyoki, there, you know, you're seated with your Mrs., and somebody's, and most interestingly, women tend to notice this quickly. And if it's a man eyeing your wife, you also tend to notice ule jamaa na mambo. So, but those are isolated issues. But the issue of chemistry, the issue of time, the issue of vulnerability.
Yes.
And even in social media. I've been there. I get text, this is a message, the Facebook. Somebody saying you at DM at high. I'm wondering, who is this high? You look closely. You don't know them. You look at their friends, you notice they are friends with your wife. So one of the things I normally do is I ask my wife, do you know this lady? Yes. Why is she texting me? So once I do that, I know you. That one has been killed. Because as you say, there are very many areas where you'll be, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself exposed. And exposing yourself to being vulnerable. Yes.
And you're a good man when you show your wife.
Yeah, I tell her, look, this lady, your friend is, what is this message she said?
One else who's thriving on anonymity. I don't want the wife to know.
Now, Gary Chapman has written a book. It's called The Five Love Languages. He talks about one of them is quality time. The other one is words of affirmation.
Yeah.
The third one is gifts. The fourth one is touch. The fifth one is acts of service. Now, these have been taken as standards of expression of love by many couples, especially by many of our wives. But you know, my observation is that these are actually needs in every marriage. There is no marriage that will survive without quality time. No marriage will survive without words of affirmation.
Affirmation, yeah.
No marriage will survive without gifts. No marriage will survive without touch or acts of service. Here's a problem. These needs should be met on an ongoing basis. And when they are met properly, they service a marriage. However, when a person is wounded in a specific area, their need in that area becomes glaring. So for example, you're among five siblings, and you are third born daughter. And so you never get new dresses, you get the pass me downs. The first one gets dresses, but the second one is actually a bit big in body. So the second one never gets the first born's dresses because she's a bit big. So she, the first one gets bought dresses, second one gets bought dresses. The third one
gets the pass me downs. So within her, there's a need for gifts because she never gets new things. We all have a need for gifts, but in her life, it's glaring. There's a glaring need. When that need is met, that person feels loved. They may use that to say, my language of love is gifts. When I receive them, I feel loved. Now, the good part is that it is easy to love that kind of person. The hard part is that because this need comes out of wounding, it can never be satisfied. There's no amount of gift that
cannot satisfy.
If you bring her red dress, she's very happy. Next time you think, oh, she likes red, I bring her red dresses. You brought me another red dress. How could you get me a white one this time? This because of hurt, the gift never satisfies.
I pity the husband.
That's very difficult. I think Dr. Stan is saying it's all of us.
All of us. So now, when this need is not met in marriage, and someone outside of marriage realizes that this is the so-called love language of that person, they can exploit it. They know what makes you tick, and they'll always give you, meet a particular need. If it's gifts, they'll always meet you with a gift.
It's quality time.
Let's spend time with you. You know, work has been hard. It's 5 o'clock. Hey, we don't need to rush out. There's traffic out there. So you sit and relax and talk for about 30 minutes before going out. Because you tell yourself, maybe truthfully so, it will not make a difference in the time we get home, whether we leave at 5 or 5:30 because of the traffic. But in making that logical reasoning, then you come up with hanging out together when everybody else has left, and that also creates anonymity. So this person is getting quality time from you. There's anonymity. 2 out of 5 have been met.
And you are thinking anonymity is being in a tinted car. not knowing who's driving in the car. It's just here, in front of us. Very, very, very interesting.
So when these needs are not met in a marriage, that marriage begins to squeak. It begins to bleed. And very soon conversations are not taking place in that marriage because the person's language of love is not being serviced. Now, when this person whose language of love is not being serviced at home begins to be serviced outside, it's almost like lubricating a joint that is squeaking. So the marriage is squeaking, so to speak, and not being lubricated, but this marriage is being lubricated outside of home. So this person is always looking forward to the other person meeting their needs. Let me paint a scenario. Or maybe you can react to that if I paint the scenario.
I think you need us to let us react a bit, because I'm just wondering, from where I sit here as a man, and I know maybe other men would be asking this, the woman is more connected emotionally. But it would also be true to say that even for the man or the male, they go through the same thing of feeling, there's someone else who is lubricating me outside there.
Affirmation.
There's someone who's affirming me. There's someone who is honoring the fact that, you know, I'm working hard, toiling for my family. I dress well. Probably I'm always going to that barber shop, the one who's massaging you. You're coming back with a haircut, and you've never been told you look nice by your own wife. But outside there's someone who's giving you that compliment and affirming you. So it almost seems like the women are the ones in the marriage situation are the ones who are venturing out. But even as you explain it, Doctor, it seems that even men are caught in the same web of hungering for that affirmation. That could lead now to a full-blown affair.
You've made me remember an article. There's this guy on Facebook I follow. You guys probably know him, Dr. Kinyanjui Nganga. Dr. Kinyanjui is calling, nowadays he calls himself Kay and Jacob, but Dr. Kinyanjui Nganga recently has been posting stuff on why men leave their wives after 25, 30 years of marriage. Mm-hmm. And he gives scenarios, and it's very similar to what Dr. Mm-hmm. Stan has said. Mm-hmm. That you find for those so many years, the man has, you know, he has never received a compliment from his wife. He's, the way you're saying, he works his socks off, blah, blah, blah. But somebody is noticing him. When he goes to the pub, you've noticed our father's age mates in their 70s, some of them started affairs with barmaids and stuff, because mm-hmm. when he sits there with his tipple, the lady is not shouting at him or, you know, berating him the way he feels his wife berates him. Mm. You know, hey, sit down, Mr. Tony, sit down here, how was your day? Mm. That kind of stuff. Mm. He goes home, he's like, hey, umeingia? if not worse, you know. Mm. So the five languages, this man, the way Kevin is saying, he's being appreciated, he's being affirmed, probably, you know, whatever it could be, he's feeling safe. Well, he goes at home, home is where needs are either to be met or you're berated as a man. So Dr. Kinyanjui was saying people get surprised when couples split 40 years, 50 years of marriage, and they don't like, now what happened to Ngugi wa Thiong'o? You know, a very surprising issue. You're wondering, the dude is 80 plus. Yeah, that's our story. So it comes now to the love languages you're talking about.
Yeah,
where it could be the lady, but now for men who simply walk out of their marriages, or even ladies who walk out, it is regarding the five love languages where somebody feels, I've had enough. I'm not being affirmed. I'm not being, you know, the last time you bought me a dress, you know, it was, the woman feels was, yeah, when our child who is about to get married at 30 is when you last bought me a dress. Yeah, so these challenges, both ways, both for the men and the women, you cannot claim because you've been married for 40 plus years that your marriage is safe.
No,
it's still, the vulnerabilities that you've just described are still at play.
And especially for men, the older you become, the more mellow you become, mm-hmm. the nicer you are to be around. Mm-hmm. Well, there are some old bitter men, mm-hmm. but you know, if you walk with God, you're a nice guy to be around, mm-hmm. and that's very attractive for many, mm-hmm. very, very attractive. Mm-hmm. So age and length of marriage are not insurance.
Hey, the age and the length of marriage,
they are not insurance. The longevity of your marriage, you still have to be alert.
But even though you've just said it, that even for those who are, you know, deeply rooted in Christ, are attractive.
We're the most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because there's a stability in your character,
yes.
and admiration by those who come to you for counsel.
Mm.
A man comes to you for counsel, you sort him out in the Lord, then he refers other people to you. He refers his female colleague, not because of wanting to trap you,
no.
but because he had a good input.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, so we have to be on the alert all the time.
Mm. I'm tempted to ask you, Dr. How do you hack? How do you handle this?
You run away. You run away.
Yeah.
You see, no. Principle, yeah. Once the, you see chemistry is forming, mm. you run away.
Yeah.
If you're counseling someone and their dress changes, you run away.
Mm.
Some of my mentors say they will never counsel a woman.
Mm.
They just say, we'll refer you to a female counselor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wise,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wise. Yeah.
You know, I keep my door open. Mm. You don't counsel a woman behind a closed door.
Mm.
Keep it open. Let the people in the office know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that they can walk in.
Mm.
You know, ask your assistant, walk in, come and offer us a cup of tea.
Mm.
And when they walk in, they will tell you, I don't like what I'm saying.
Mm.
Give yourself that freedom.
That freedom.
Yeah. Or just run away. Mm-hmm. Just don't do it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you could be innocent, but you're counseling Potiphar's wife.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can blame you for things which are, you know, false.
Wow.
Any closing thoughts? I believe we can wind up this conversation. But just closing thoughts of what we are thinking and before we move on now to the different scenarios quickly. Yeah,
thank you. I think those are very useful insights. I'm very, again, I guess, intrigued by how close we all live to the reality that we are not ever safe from temptation. The opportunities increase, as I guess, as we get older and more out there, maybe better known, have a wider social circles and things like that. So opportunities will never cease. And the imperative really to always be alert, not to think you're above it. You love your wife, and so you wouldn't consider it. I don't think it's those things are directly, there is a relationship, but it's not directly proportional. And so, yeah, as men, I think we really ought to come to terms with how the responsibility we have to preserve the purity of our relationships with our wives and our families. And it's a big deal. I guess we'll, talk about affairs, but, and maybe we'll discuss this coming, but the kind of fallout that comes inevitably from an affair, and seeing the kind of damage that it can be caused. And so what we are actually protecting ourselves and our families from when we do these things, which sometimes, people think it's extreme, and the kind of steps we individuals might take to protect themselves, because it looks like you're doing something that has no relationship to the potential for an affair. However, you know yourself, you stick to your boundaries and be hardline about it. It's you and your family who will thank you for being that difficult. The people who are inconvenienced by you refusing to counsel them or refusing to let them sit in the front seat, it's just too bad. Those are small, minor inconveniences. Mm.
Yeah, indeed. This is a very interesting conversation. Dr. You've revealed things to me, and I'm sure to our listeners, that you probably never thought about. The five love languages, the idea that what was your heart can be glaring and it's a never-ending desire to be quenched.
Yep.
That's deep. That's deep. I've never seen it that way. But also the issues of knowing that you're always vulnerable. Always. It's like somebody who is working, an electrician. Let me give an example of an electrician. An electrician can never be casual. Even if he knows the red wire is this, the green wire is like that, and he knows his stuff. If he's slightly casual, he knows he will be a victim of his own tools.
Yeah.
So same here. If you're married, you're a man, and to our listeners and to our, you've got to remember, especially as a married man, you have a target behind your back. In spiritually and even in this world, you have a target. Somebody is looking at you thinking you're the hottest dude. Just why? Just because you are settled. You have a wife, you have children, so you're settled, and subconsciously you look attractive. Probably that's something we can discuss sometime in the future. So as a man, you've got to be very careful. Stick to your boundaries. Refuse to test the boundaries.
Yeah.
The example of you, Kevin, with that, can you send me 200 or 2,000? Immediately you delete that conversation, you forget about the whole story. I mean, we're not going there.
Yeah.
It's very important to safeguard yourself. And what we're discussing here is giving us more tools to be more secure.
Thank you. Those ones you just block. Block. My takeout really from this recording today is on that bit of anonymity, being anonymous, because sexual sin or affairs thrive in secrecy.
Yep.
And that's a breeding ground for sexual sin. But just being very clear and plain, even to those who you feel there's some energy that is being drawn towards you, some attraction, being very clear that there are boundaries that you have, and communicating that to the other person, either by fleeing or blocking, just avoiding and fleeing from that circumstance. I think for me, then it exposes them. And also just being able to be free to speak to your wife, to those who are accountable to you, you're accountable to, about this thing that is leading towards an affair. Because there's some men who are there who I believe have gone through these intimate personal conversations, have spent time with someone they're not supposed to be spending time with. They've probably had transactions even. And now they've been drawn into that space of hiding, being anonymous, and then possibly lead to that touch. And I think by the time the touch is there, the ground has already been prepared through secrecy.
And the attack doesn't even have to be inappropriate. Let us say inappropriate touch.
Yeah.
It used to be a tap on the back. That can send the body reacting.
Like the example you gave earlier.
Yeah.
Well, gents, you've had this conversation today. Thank you guys for tuning in to Umeshare. This was a rich conversation where we were looking at the different ways that we communicate or we facilitate affairs from happening. We've heard about the intimate personal conversations, time, money, anonymity, and touch. You've been listening to Umeshare. Gents, asante sana for being here today. Thank you, Daktari, for giving us your wise counsel and wisdom. Thank you, Tony Bonamudi Musioki, for just being here. And myself, Kevin Kanyotu, tuning off until next week. Have a good evening, a good morning, wherever you are. Asante sana.